Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James, the podcast all about getting people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, and the music that have soundtracked their journey. So join me as we open up shop and have a waffle. Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today I'm joined, I said this last time as well, but a bit of a personal hero of mine, the best-selling Sunday Times author, Lucy Lord. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
Oh, thank you. I liked that intro. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I like to kind of hype my guests up, especially when they're as incredible as you are. Like, I was fangirling a little bit before we started recording, but genuinely, like, your story and kind of people like yourself who, like, follow their passions and, you know, just really go for it and, you know, we're here once kind of attitude, like, I love, and I genuinely find it really inspiring. So this is a little bit insane for me, so thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much, Taylor, and thank you for asking me to come on. And as soon as I started, obviously you emailed me and I was like, oh, who is this guy? I, like, looked into your Instagram and your story, and I found that very inspiring, so thank you very much for having me on.
Look at this, out here inspiring people. Who'd have thought it? I want to kind of jump straight into this kind of, like, story of yours, because, you know, so many incredible things have happened for you, especially, like, becoming a Sunday Times best-selling author. Like, Joe, actually, yeah, let's start there. Let's start. That's a perfect place to start. So, Food for the Soul, like, what is it? How did it start?
Yeah, it started actually, it started well over 2 years ago, really. And it was just my love for food. And I'd left the UK, I was in Australia, I was in Sydney. And I just had more time on my hands to start creating and baking stuff. And I saw Instagram had just kind of started being a thing more, and so I was sharing it online, and people, you know, friends at first would ask me what's the recipe and whatnot, so I was screenshotting recipes, sending them over, and then when the little highlights thing became a thing, I started putting them on my highlights, and I felt so awful for doing that, because I was like, this is so embarrassing, this is so cringeworthy, like, no one's gonna want to make my stuff. So I put it on my highlights reel, and then eventually things kind of started picking up, and yeah, the book concept came about 2 years ago. And very, very similarly, my first thought was absolutely not. Who would buy my book? You know, it would be a dream, but it's not something I could possibly do.
Yeah.
And then just over time, kind of parking those self-limiting beliefs and thoughts, I think, to the side and just doing it anyway. And very luckily having people around me who believed in me more than I believed in myself, and just kind of pushing it through. And then, yeah, the books come to life, and it felt like an absolute whirlwind because of the conditions at the time. But now it's out and it's in hard copy, and it's unbelievable to see. And it's really surreal to go into some of my favorite bookshops and see it sat there on the shelf on the new releases or in the best-selling charts. It's bizarre, but it's been an incredible journey.
I think it's phenomenal. Again, Thank you. Keeping it consistent and doing something, because I feel like anything anyone does nowadays is met with some kind of like judgment or like scrutiny, or, you know, we probably do it to ourselves, like you mentioned about like the self-limiting thoughts. Not to get all mental health with it like straight away, but how do you, like, when you're going through those kind of thoughts, how do you get out of that, like, from your point of view?
I think it's a really common thing. And I think that even the most successful people that I know have that element of, can I do this? You know, that doubt or that self-sabotage. But they just choose to not listen to it or not let it override their actions. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is almost having like a third person view of it, of being like, okay, I'm experiencing this thought or this feeling, but I'm going to do it anyway. And kind of knowing that failure and setbacks and people not saying very nice things is part of it. And for me, that was the, like, other people criticizing my work or myself, because I'm quite a shy personality. I'm not outgoing. I'm not loud. I'm not like center of attention. I'm always quite like the quiet one. And that thought of being, putting my work on myself, like, into a more public space, and inevitably, you know, having things said to about me or about my work that wasn't very good, always held me back until I kind of got to the point that I was like, you know what, it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to happen anyway. And I can't control what those people think. And also, to get a little bit more mental health side of it in, nothing that anybody can say to me or say about me is anywhere near as bad as what I've said or, you know, acted to myself. So kind of acknowledging that and being like, you know, there's nothing anybody can say that will match the self-sabotage that I think that we as people can put on ourselves. And so once you kind of accept that, it's like, oh, it doesn't really matter. And I think we know, being human, and as you go through life, you know that you only speak bad about people or other people's work, or, you know, put the energy and time into putting somebody down if you're not 100% happy with your own. And so I think knowing that as well, it just kind of makes you not bulletproof, but just kind of makes you a little bit more like, oh, you know,
that's powerful.
It's fine. It's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. It's completely changed the way that I see things. And it's still, that thought still comes up when I do things, or like I'm trying to put my foot more into food photography at the moment. And I kind of think, oh, who am I to do that? And, you know, so-and-so's work is so much better. And why would anybody want me to photo their food? Or why would I even want to photo my own food? and then you kind of see that in third person and think, okay, it's a real thought, but it's not true. And then just keep moving through it. And much like hypertrophy and working, you know, working out or being in a gym, the more you push through that repetition of doing things, even when you know you don't want to, the stronger it becomes. And the more you just seem to do it. And then opportunities come your way. And you can feel yourself being like, no, 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 I couldn't possibly do that. Who am I to do that? But you feel yourself saying, yeah, I'd love to. And it's almost this like the inner person of you is like, what am I doing?
It's bizarre, inside. But
it's just like, no, 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 don't do it.
Have you ever had, like, you know, those moments where, because I'm really big into like journaling and like self-reflection now, especially with kind of like my own journey, but with people like yourself and, like, you know, I follow your journey for quite a while now, do you ever have like those moments where like you have to like take a step back to be like, yeah, I've done this? Like, because you should be so proud of like what you've achieved that.
Oh, thank you very much, Taylor. No, I probably should make more of an effort to step back and look at it. But for me, like I said, I was on a podcast the other week and I said, you know, he had a copy of the book and I said, I haven't actually sat down and flicked through it properly in hard copy. Yeah. I've obviously read everything 100 million times over, but since it's been in hard copy print, I haven't sat back and read it page to page, because I know that I will look at things and be like, could have added that, could have changed that, shouldn't have done that. You know, I would just be like that. Likewise, the podcast, I have only just started listening back to some of them now and I'm like, oh no, should have said that, should have done this. So I think with our own eyes on our own work, we're always really critical, but I do think that pausing and expressing gratitude over how far, you know, people have come in their own journeys is so important, because without recognizing that, you know, that you can't then create space to move forward. And you know, something I heard this morning, which I think is really poignant, is often we kind of worry about the state that we're in now and the position that we're in now without recognizing that once upon a time this is what we wanted. So, or this is what we dreamed wow. about and all that kind yeah. of thing. So I think when we reframe it like that, it's like, okay, I'm doing all right. I'm not making a complete mess of this.
It's like, to be fair, if you find someone who isn't making a mess of something, then
yeah, exactly. And it's like, don't aim for perfection, because then you're not going to be able to relate to anybody.
It doesn't exist, does it?
It doesn't exist.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist, exactly.
I feel like that was probably some of the best advice I've actually ever heard. So I'm going to go back and
listen to
this.
I probably need to listen back to it and play it back for myself.
I might say it's my alarm that goes off in the morning. Yeah,
just my dulcet tones.
I kind of want to get your advice on something, because obviously I'm in the process of making the move to New York, and obviously there's a lot of emotions attached to that. Obviously you've spent a huge period of time in one of the places that I'm yet to visit, obviously Australia. What was going through your head like when you were making that move? Like, were you scared, excited? Like, where was your head at?
I think the move from the UK 5 years ago to Australia, there wasn't really any fear there. It was a move out of desperation, to be honest. It was a very different feeling than choosing to move back here. It was a real, like, I don't want to be here anymore in terms of being in the UK. Yeah. And the environment that I had, you know, I had friends, I had family in Scotland, but I had friends there. I had a really good job. I had my own house. I had a nice car. I had all the things that you should have, but I was so kind of desperately unhappy. And I experienced this period of depression, which I only kind of realized was that in the kind of latter years.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I was going out on weekends and like living for the weekend, and that kind of lifestyle where you go out on a Friday, Saturday night, and then you feel rubbish until Wednesday, Thursday, and then repeat and repeat and repeat. And I just thought, I can't keep doing this. It's just wearing away at my soul and there's no purpose to it. And you know, every month you'd get paid and it'd be like, now I'm just going to go and buy things I don't really want or need or have a drive for. It's just, you know, to acquire things. There was no real, like, there was no depth, there was no soul behind it, and it seeped into everything. There was no soul in the way I was eating or the way that I was, you know, interacting with people. And so for me, I just needed a change of environment, and I knew that. And so I don't think that you have to move to a different country or do anything really extreme to you know, begin to work on yourself. But for me, it was like, you know, kind of living these extremes. And it was like, if I'm gonna really start from scratch and start working on myself more, that to me, and it could have been anywhere. It was, I don't know, I still to this day do not know how Australia came around, because originally it was somewhere in the Middle East, it was Dubai, and then it was America, and then it was all these different places, but for whatever reason,
anywhere.
Anywhere. Didn't need to be Australia. I'd never been to Australia before. I had no drive, no want to go to Australia. But it was a friend and I, and it will have been something gin fueled or alcohol fueled, but I can't remember where the idea
the
came
best decisions
up,
usually next. Are.
Well, but yeah, I mean, in some form, sometimes, but we ended up deciding Australia and then going traveling for 3-4 months beforehand. And then, yeah, getting to Australia and essentially starting from scratch. It's completely different to my feeling now, which was, I love Australia. I love Sydney. Lifestyle wise, it's incredible. But for me, and I was explaining to a friend yesterday who's on his way back to the UK soon, and he was like, how is it? And I was like, I couldn't quite explain it other than using plants, which is my new obsession. as like an analogy. So I just said, in Australia, I feel like, you know, I was in like an overgrowing my plant pot, and the soil wasn't very like fertile for it. So I was like, I feel at the moment like the UK is my fertile soil.
Yeah,
I know. I feel like the UK has more fertile soil and opportunities for me rather than Sydney at the moment. But it was a completely different feeling moving back. It was more like exciting. There is fear there. There is definitely fear there, but it was more exciting and opportunities. Whereas on my way out, it was like, nah, get me out of here. I don't care where I'm going. Just get me out.
I, for one, obviously, thank you for sharing that, because I actually didn't know that that was the reason you kind of went to Australia. I just thought it was just one of those things. So obviously, thank you for sharing that. I love the whole plant analogy thing, because it was actually something my friend said to me there, because I'm at that stage now where like I'm ready to take that next step. Like, I've done the whole kind of responsibility thing. Now I'm ready to like do things for me. And she said the same thing. It was like, you've kind of, you know, you need to kind of move the plant to help it grow. Like, you need some more sunshine. It needs more kind of water. And so, yeah.
Needs more nourishment for your soul and your psyche. And you can use loads of different analogies. Plants are just my one, but like a bird, you know, like a caged bird, or a bird that's outgrown its cage, or something like that. You can use whatever, but it's that feeling where you feel quite like small and constrained and just a little bit trapped almost. And so it's that feeling being able to go out and spread your wings and try new things and, you know, not be afraid to fail and all of that.
I wanted, because obviously you moved back in probably one of the weirdest times. I imagine it wasn't just as simple as it normally is, like hopping on a plane and obviously coming back. With obviously the whole coronavirus situation, did you have to go through any kind of additional steps to get back to the UK?
Oh yeah, it's a nightmare. They made it hard. I was in the UK last year and I got stuck for 8 months because of COVID, and I'm not an Australian citizen, so had to jump through all these hoops to try and I was still working full-time to try and get my visa exempt and all that stuff. But for the way back, yeah, of course they make it, you know, they make it hard to come in, hard to leave. You need to apply for an exemption to get your, so you can leave early, because my visa was still linked to Australia. There's two people on my flight from Australia to Singapore.
What?
Two people, I know. Yeah, two people, two passengers, and then I think 16 staff, two people. And then the Singapore to UK one was full. But yeah, it was really difficult. You've got to take all these, obviously, COVID tests and passenger locator forms and anything that they can do where they charge you like hundreds of dollars for it. Just you start to see all this like capitalism coming to front and you're like, oh God. But you know, the want to leave is so great that you're like, okay, I know I'm going to have to jump through these holes. So
obviously you're now, are you still in Scotland?
Yeah, I'm still in Scotland. So I'm tucked away in what was my old bedroom. It's kind of, I'm using it as a little bit of like a study now. I'm in Scotland at the moment. So we moved to Scotland when I was in school for my dad's job. We grew up in the Middle East and in Holland, but my parents were from Lancashire. So they moved up to Scotland when we were in school, and my mum still lives here now. So I was like, right, I'll come home. Lost my dad a couple months ago. So I was like, I'll come home, hang with my mum for a bit, and then I'll move back down to England, which is where I was after uni and through uni, and where I would consider home. Where all my kind of friend base is and stuff like that. So at the moment I'm in Scotland and it's grey, it's raining, it's familiar.
It's home. It's home.
It's home. Yeah, it's definitely home, but it's beautiful. You know, it's absolutely, it's been about 4 days since I've been allowed out of self-isolation, and it's beautiful. You know, it's quiet, it's peaceful. I live in Aberdeen and in the suburbs, so I don't live in the countryside, but there's just green everywhere, just green and trees everywhere and nature and all of that good stuff. So I'm definitely getting my fix.
I'm jealous, literally.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Coventry, I love my city, but it's very grey. I mean, there's a lot going on at the minute with the City of Culture this year. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot going on, but it is very grey. So any,
I used to work around
like
Coventry.
Greenery. Oh really?
Yeah, I used to work all over there, but yeah, Coventry, Leamington Spa, Stratford upon Avon, that amazing kind of route I remember well.
Is there anywhere that you haven't been?
Yeah, do you know, I've been there, but haven't done it so much. So when I worked in pharmaceuticals, I looked after, in different jobs, looked after different parts of the country. And the only part I've never looked after is that kind of southeast. I don't even know what's there.
Yeah.
But like under London, I don't know what's there. Like Brighton and...
Yeah, you're asking the wrong person. Stuff.
Or like a little bit up, like Ipswich, Essex. I haven't really done, or looked after those areas before, so I haven't really traveled there. But otherwise, I've been really lucky to cover the UK pretty well and know it really well. But there's so many places that are on my bucket list that I want to go back to and visit now with refreshed eyes.
Yeah, this was actually going to be my next question. With, you know, once, you know, restrictions are easing now, like, you know, there's places like on green lists or traffic, I don't know what they're calling it. I tend not to watch the news. It's like, can I go here? Can I do this? No. Okay, well, scrap that off the list.
Can I hug now?
Exactly. They announced that you're allowed to hug people the day after I leave. So I wasn't allowed to hug my mum before I'd left, but I did it anyway. So
yeah,
this is going to go out after anyway, so it's fine.
It's all right. What are you going to do? I think I remember hearing, you know, you're allowed to hug people, and I was like, when were you not allowed to hug people? Like, when was that? I mean, obviously, I haven't been here for the bulk the restriction stuff. So I'm like, when are you not allowed to hug people? But you know, it is what it is.
Like, a lot of people just do that out of choice.
Exactly. It's just normal. But
So once everything has gone, and you know, the world's, well, I don't even know anyone's going to, I don't think no one know what the world is going to look like once this is all over. But what is the plan? Like, are you staying in the UK for a while to obviously nurture the roots, or are you are you back on the plane somewhere else?
I don't know. I think for now, coming back to the UK feels really good. I don't know. I can't go back to Australia because I don't have a visa there. So that was a big decision to leave. So I don't have the rights to go back there and live or work. So I don't know. But for now, the UK feels right. And I've never disliked the UK. I've only ever disliked my environment or the environment that I had built in the UK. So I've never disliked it as a place. So I don't know. I probably stay here for a little bit. And what I'm trying to do is take this culture and lifestyle that Australia, or specifically Sydney and the kind of eastern suburbs, strips, Bondi's and the beach places do so well, and try and take it back here, which is like getting outside as much as possible, you know, waking up early, eating well, living well, even on like nights out and stuff. It's not really a culture where you stay up, and like, you here you go out at like 11 p.m. Whereas over there, you're kind of finishing your drinks at 11 p.m. So trying to take that culture and lifestyle, which I absolutely loved over there, and bring it back over here, if I can, a little bit, to my life anyway.
I feel like that, I mean, forgive me if like I'm kind of like overstepping the mark or kind of putting words in your mouth here, but like, I feel like that kind of rough patch and then making that move, like, you found like your purpose, like your passion, like over there. Like, I think it's incredible, like, genuinely so inspiring, and I can't wait to see it filter out. Because I mean, we've been talking obviously for a little while now on obviously this podcast, but I feel it, if that makes sense. Like, I feel that, like,
thank you.
It's like, you've got this odd sense of calm about you. That's
so funny, because that's what old managers used to say. And even at the tail end, when I was, you know, really, really wanting to leave, you're just so calm about everything. And I was like, it's bizarre, because one of the sayings I love is that, you know, it's like, what's in the jar can't read the label. You know, you don't know how you appear to other people. It's like, I don't know what you think of me. I only know what I think you think of me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%.
It's bizarre, because I wouldn't say I feel calm most of the time. Sometimes I do, and definitely probably more so. But it's something that a few people have said, and I think how funny that's, you know, what alludes, whereas sometimes it's not exactly how we feel. But you weren't putting words in my mouth at all with that statement. It's definitely what's happened. It was never really my intention to move, to kind of find myself, and I used to be very anti that like go and find yourself hippy dippy meditation yoga, like all of that. I just thought, exactly. Whereas now I'm like, I see it, like I can see the benefits of having this more slow paced, purposeful way of life. And maybe it is now kind of seeping into who I am and becoming more calm. And if I can continue to do that, then I would be thrilled, because I never used to be. I feel calm now in comparison to usual, or what I used to be. But if I could just continue that, that would be amazing, because it used to just be like all the time.
But I think this is one of the things that the pandemic has taught us, though, isn't it? Is the importance of time. So we've all had to take this kind of step back to realize, you know, what we want to do with our lives, what makes us happy, what we're putting into our bodies, like, you know, all this kind of thing. So I feel like this is starting at exactly the right time, because people are more aware of what makes them happy and what they want to do, because they've had the time to think about it. So if you're going to come over here and like filter all the way through the UK, I'm here for it. I'm definitely here for it.
Yeah, thank you. I think we can only inspire other people's actions by living that life ourselves, really. Yeah. And like you said, you know, you journal a lot and you find that practice useful, and I do as well. But there's something around COVID that's made people sit with their own thoughts and their own feelings that's been very uncomfortable. And that's the kind of feeling that I get with most mindful practices, be it journaling or meditation or yoga or anything where you're kind of forced to slow down. There's this real aversion in me, because it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
But I think that's what COVID has really, or what lockdown has really done for a lot of people. It's forced this sense of like putting the brakes on, and you have to sit with it. And once we've all finished like doing up our houses and doing up our gardens and, you know, baking 100 banana breads, it's like there's still loads of time there, and you just sit and you're like, okay, right, now I'm gonna actually, you know, do some more inner work, if you would. So I think it's been really useful for a lot of people. But I think that a lot of that useful a lot of the useful juice has come from really difficult and uncomfortable times, and probably a lot of loneliness and, you know, people losing their jobs and scarcity and that kind of stuff as well.
I completely agree, and it's one of the things that I used to be able to feel like I had to do something all the time, like that person's it's busy all the time, so I must be busy all the time. But this whole pandemic's taught me that there's something very beautiful in being bored, and allowing myself to be bored is actually a bit of a luxury. Because once the world starts to open up again, like, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if ever, you know, it is just a big question mark. But, you know, I talk about it on the show quite a lot, of just finding what works for you. If I try to meditate very similar to yourself, like I will start remembering something stupid that I said like 10 years ago, and then that'll be it. And then it will like filter
never
out.
Again.
Yes. Yeah. Never doing that. Never going back to goat yoga. Like, it's just it's done. It's done.
Yeah, that's it. I think that hopefully we'll all be able to say that lockdown and COVID has grown us in some ways, but growth usually comes out of something uncomfortable. And I think there's nobody who I know who doesn't look back at their life. It's like, I don't know how I used to do that before. Yeah. I don't know how I used to fit everything before. There's no way I'm going back to that. So hopefully we can all kind of stick to our words and stick to these new practices and thoughts that we've had, and put that into practice when we move hopefully through and out of the pandemic.
You're speaking my language. You're an absolute legend. There is one final thing that I need to talk about, and one of my friends won't be happy with me if I don't bring it up, because she's very much on your side with this.
Okay.
But I cannot stand banana bread, and I feel like I'm being really offensive, because you are literally the queen of banana bread, to a point where like in lockdown she kept like baking it and like dropping it like to the doorstep. And I feel really bad, because like,
just
I tried
disguising it and being like, it's just brown sugar bread.
Yeah, I just kept putting it in the bin. So I feel
quite... I think like anything, banana bread is just the thing that kind of took off through the pandemic, and it just happened to be the thing that like made it first onto when I was building my website. Yeah. And it's the recipe that most people were asking about, usually because it's like an Australian culture to have it on every breakfast menu.
Oh really?
But it does. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's where it came from, is I was in Australia and I was like, right, what can I start baking? And I didn't have much money at the time. And I was house sharing with two other guys, and they were all working these high-flying corporate jobs. And I was like in retail and working in a cafe and just trying to kind of find my feet. And I couldn't afford to go out every morning and buy, like, Sydney's expensive, and like a coffee and a slab of banana bread was like $12, $14. So I
Oh,
was like, I
wow.
can't do that every single morning. So I just started baking my own. And that's the first recipe that I started, that I made my own and kind of created through things that I like, adding more brown sugar, adding less this, adding whatever it was. And so that's just how it was born. But I have zero offense if anybody turns around and says, you know what, I don't like that recipe, or I don't like that type of food. It doesn't bug me at
Generally,
all.
like, but look at like what that has turned into now.
Yeah, it's
Like,
what's
that's
turned into a book.
insane. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's taking those opportunities and just running with it, and then you never know, down the line we might have a waffle pandemic, and you'll be at the forefront with a waffle
Well,
podcast. You know,
you've
maybe
said it
not,
now,
but
you've put
some.
it out there. You've put it out there into the universe now. But I'm not taking responsibility if there's something else that happens. And
Yeah,
I'm gonna get the
absolutely
blame
not.
for this now.
But you'd be surprised how many people message and like, is there anything else I can use that's not bananas and banana bread? And I was like, yeah, for sure. Like you can make an apple and cinnamon loaf. I'm very pro people eating on their own terms and eating what they like, and having done all of these like meal plans myself, other people's meal plans, and it's just cookie cutted and given to you. And you're like, yeah, but what happens if I don't like an egg white omelet for breakfast? What happens if I don't like banana bread or whatever it is? And I'm very pro people living life on their own terms, and if that's not banana bread, that's absolutely fine. And hey, I like all kinds of cake, so I'll happily sit and share a chocolate cake or an apple cake or whatever it is that is your jam instead.
I'm going to hold you to that because I'm here for it. Always
Oh,
any sign
the
of
New
cake.
York food scene, the New York food scene is meant to be insane, so you'll have the
Well, you are
best time
more
there.
than welcome. Once I'm over there and
Thank you.
settled, you have always got a place to stay. And if you take as many pictures of the food as you want.
Thank you very much. You know, you're going in a couple of days, aren't you?
Yes.
How
Yeah,
exciting.
it's still. I don't know. That's all I keep saying is I don't know because,
Yeah, you
like,
don't need to know though.
yeah, do you know what I mean? It's.
Yeah, you don't need to
I
know.
don't know how I'm supposed to feel. It just feels right. It like I feel like I've done what I needed to do here now, and I feel like now it is time for the next
For
chapter.
a new chapter. Yeah, I love that. And I think it's so important. Like, you ask other people how they felt when they moved to New York or moved back to the UK or stuff like that. And it doesn't really matter, because it's not you, and it's not your experience, and it's not your background, it's not your story, and it's not your purpose, and it's not your reasoning. So I don't think we need to know why we're doing things or how we feel. It's just, if it feels good or if it feels right, and you just follow
Definitely.
towards that. And I think the more we try and add narrative to that, the more it can actually backtrack us into this like illusion of safety, because it's like, oh, actually, do I feel good, or is it just because it's different? Am I happy, unhappy where I am? Maybe I just need to change gyms. just starting to like slowly back our way out of these incredible decisions. And worst case scenario, yeah, I'm sure you can always come back.
Yeah, I literally I don't know what to say because it is generally this, I think this is one of my favorites, like that I've had the pleasure of recording, like the advice, like you're speaking my language, and it's a lot of, why I love the whole purpose of this podcast, having these kind of conversations with kind of like-minded people, hearing their experience, their journeys, like, what they do, how to deal with their mental health. Like, it gives me so much reassurance and kind of inspiration. Like, yeah, okay, I'm on the right path, like I'm doing the right thing. So, Lucy, thank you so much for joining me for a
Oh,
waffle.
you're
Like,
very
you've
welcome.
been
Thank you
a
so much,
brilliant
Taylor.
guest.
Thank you very much, and I'm so excited to follow your journey and see how you do over there, and see your food stories.
I'll tag you in
Mostly
every single one.
selfishly, yeah, mostly selfishly for my thing. They have like the most insane. I've done the west coast of America. We went to America quite a lot as like family holidays and stuff, but just by myself with some friends, we did the whole West Coast for about a month, and it was
Amazing.
insane. It was absolutely incredible. I can't wait to go back and to explore New York, I want to go to Boston, all those places as well. So yeah, find
I'm
the
so
good
excited
spot.
Now. Oh yeah, do you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna turn it into a book.
Yeah, turn it into the food, the waffle spots of New York.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm gonna write that down before I forget that.
Yeah.
It's like obviously there'll be a share. Obviously you've started this for me.
I'm just here for the food. Just give me the waffles and I'm fine with it.
It's the only reason I'm going. You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Huge thank you to my incredible guest this week, the brilliant Lucy Lord. Make sure you check out Food for the Soul because there are so many incredible recipes in there. As always, hit subscribe and I'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.